I've said this so many times, you know, we wait for the preacher to get anointed. And I've heard that so many times down through my life. And half the time, you know, to some preachers, we don't have a lot of problem with it from thankful to God. But a lot of times folks just won't listen while the preacher's trying to tell them something. And, of course, not giving the more earnest heed to it, they run into problems. Because he is God's minister and he is set forth in the earth to bring judgment and to remit and retain sin. And he is set there to help you and to bless you if you'll do right, but he's there also to curse you if you do not do right. And a lot of times people won't listen. They say, well, the reason I didn't listen because he wasn't anointed. But I've said this so many times, you should never say that concerning the minister because he doesn't have to get anointed. I don't know where they ever come up with that. That isn't in the Bible. That isn't scripture. And yet I've heard it all down through the years. You know, the preacher doesn't have to get anointed. I don't know where in the name of reason they get such a thing. The Bible teaches that the preacher is God's anointed. And all he has to do is just stir up the mind of Christ within him, and that's it. It's like a prophet. You know, you meet a prophet today, and he's a prophet. But when you meet him day after tomorrow, what is he? He's still a prophet. That's like David of old. David was a prophet. And David did a horrible, hideous thing, even to murder. But what was he when he finished? He was still a prophet. He had to pay for it, and the sword never did depart out of his house. He lost the life of his loved ones. He lost his wives. He lost what he had, driven out into the wilderness, and said, my wounds stink because of my foolishness. And as it was with Moses, Moses was born the proper child as the great, wonderful deliverer of Israel. And he was a great and a mighty prophet, so great that even Jesus was likened as to the prophet, likened unto Moses. For the Bible said, it shall come to pass that God shall raise up a prophet likened unto myself, and it shall come to pass that whosoever faileth to hear this prophet shall be cut off from among the people. Even when John came on the scene, they went to John and said, art thou that prophet? He said, no. Art thou then the Messiah? No. Then what right do you have preaching? They wanted to know. But anyway, I said that to say this. Moses was God's deliverer. He got upset, lost his temper with the Egyptians, killed a man, hit him in the sand. When he hit him in the sand and got through, what was he? He was still God's deliverer. God put him out in the wilderness and let him wander around about 40 years. And then after that, he got everything out of his system that shouldn't be there. Then when he was about 80 years old, God had a ministry for him. And called him, and he began to do something for God. So that's the way it is. God does those things. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, and then 40 years for a ministry. And so that's the way it is. Don't feel that way about me, brother. Please don't. That isn't right. Don't you know if the Lord had told me, that's what I would have done. So don't feel like that. I can hear him. I'm his sheep. The Bible said his sheep know his voice, and a stranger they will not follow. So I don't feel like I'm following a stranger. I believe I'm following the Lord. All right, let's read from chapter 5, St. Matthew's, and I'd like to go into some things if I can. I've been trying to take a little time with my audience and trying to instruct you in some things and indoctrinate you. And the devil, he's howling like a mighty wind. And he is upset. Satan is trying to do all kind of things. Cause all kind of problems. But like I was telling the brethren on a Monday night, and I was repeating it to my wife today while we were talking, because some more things had transpired today. I said, I am not planning to change. The thing that God put in my heart, the thing that God gave me to preach, the thing that God told me to do, I said, he himself will have to come and show me the error of it, because I don't intend to change it now, not ever. I never have, and I never will. It's God's word, and it's God's way. You say, oh, bless God, you will. Oh, no, there won't be no days like that. You just stay around and see. There won't be no days like that. Oh, I'm talking to somebody today. I was trying to reason with him, and I couldn't reason. And I said, well, there's just one thing about it. I said, you're just giving place to a devil. I said, that's a devil. That's what it is. And few days ago, somebody was acting up, and I said, that's the devil. I said, you're giving place to the devil. Somebody would say, well, you can't talk like that. Well, you came too late to tell me. I've been doing it for years. A devil is a devil. If I see a cat, that's a cat. If I see a man, that's a man. If I see a devil, that's the devil. Jesus said, I've chosen 12 of you, and one of you is a devil. And like I said, he knows what he made. So when he called Herod a fox, as far as I'm concerned, he's a fox. When he said Judas was a devil, as far as I'm concerned, he was a devil. Devils do live in human bodies, and they are walking around. And most likely, you got some in here tonight, sitting right here with you. You got some sons of Satan and daughters of Satan, no doubt, sitting right here. Someone would say, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike, what is your definition of a devil? Well, we'll let Jesus give the definition. Peter said, nay, Lord, nobody's going to hurt you. He said, devil, you'll get behind me, Satan. So that's your definition of a devil. There's a brother coming out of this. I believe there's somebody's mother here tonight, they said, that we're glad to have. I got to talk and I forgot about it. Who was it? Somebody's mother, but we're certain glad to have you, whoever it is. Oh, your mother, that's right. Okay. It's been a long time since she's been back, and I didn't recognize her. But she's from Virginia. This sister got baptized the last time you was here, didn't you, sister? Let's give the Lord a hand. Our sister's come to visit with us. I know that makes Bob happy and the wife there, and it makes me happy too, because we love to see our spiritual children's mothers and dads come. And of course, she's a spiritual child too. She's come here, she got baptized, and she's cast her lot with the brothers and sisters in Christ. And wherever they're at around the world, they're brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, let me change the thought here just a little bit. I got a brother here. He's made it his business to come and scrutinize. I remember one time when we had the little tent out here, and we was preaching, and there came some brethren, and they came over from a certain place. And very fine folks. They came under the little tent that night, and when they all got seated, I said, well, we're going to have somebody else to preach tonight. I said, because we've got somebody here that come to scrutinize and to judge me, and they're sitting here, and I'll let somebody else preach. And all the judging and scrutinizing went down the drain. Now, isn't that something? Chapter 5, we're going to read from St. Matthew's. Brother, let me tell you, you really need to think things over, because you're not helping yourself. You're not intelligent. You're not shrewd. You're not brilliant. God is looking at you, and you're a little tiny baby that's about to mess up your diaper, and you need to do something, because I'm trying to help you. And you're not here to judge me. You think you're here to judge me? You're not here to judge me. I'm here to judge you. Hallelujah. I'm judging you. I'm telling you who you are and what you are, and I don't want to hurt you. Because you're just a little old toddling baby. And the man that's with you is a very fine man, a very brilliant man, a good, great Bible scholar. And if he'll walk right and do right, God's got his hands on him and help him. But you're in for trouble if you grow any more and you don't get straightened out. So I advise this man to help you, really talk with you. This man also is fellowshipping another man that I've tried to advise him to get away from. He hasn't done it yet, but he better, because someday that man's going to get him in trouble if he keeps on, because that man's got problems with women, and he needs to get away from it. And he knows this. This man is wise enough to know this. But when you allow for a little bit here and a little bit there, and you think it's all right, you know, and you're going to be shrewd and work with somebody and help them, when you know that the devil is playing around with them, it don't take but a little leaven to leaven the whole lump. And after a while, you're going to be in the same condition. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus loves you. He wants to do something for you. And he wants to help you. I'm going to read from chapter 5. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men, so he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that I accept your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribe and Pharisees. Ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rekah, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and if thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. But whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thy way. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasures is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thine whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thine whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. All right, Jesus went on to tell him here that they should not take thought for their life. Maybe I ought to read that little bit. It's not much of it. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. For the things of itself sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and a beam is thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be open. All right, this reading quite a bit, quite a number of things here that we could comment on, and yet this is a sermon within itself. You really don't have to preach anything. Jesus is preaching it to us right here. It does say that the Gentiles seek after the things of the world, and that the church should seek after heavenly things. He's exhorting Israel, and it does say that if you'll seek the kingdom of God first, that is, try to get born again. The law and the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom of God has been preached, men pressed their way into it. Now then, when you have the kingdom of God to come in you, then that means that you need to seek then after his righteousness, which is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and that you already have it through new birth. Seek to make it manifest as to the life of Christ in your mortal genes by learning the word of God and growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and move on toward the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, or the full reward of the Lord. Going on that you may have the full blessing of God, that ye may be perfect. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press forward to the prize and the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, which means to be perfect. For everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. No man shall be above his master, but that's the high calling, is to be perfect, to be as your master. But to do that, you've got to turn everything loose. You've got to lay everything aside, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, going on to a full reward, going on to a full measure, that you might be partakers of the great, wonderful benefit of God. Like I was telling somebody over the evening, we was talking, and the individual was telling me, he said, well, I'm like this. When I want to do something, I want to do it, and I want to go after it with all of my heart and all that's within me. And that's true. The individual is like that. And then I told the individual some things that as to what he was really like. And I said, and now what I would like for you to do, I would like for you to stop and think, and that when you tell a person something, if it's God, they know that it's God, and they'll sit then and they'll listen. I said, now, consider like this, and I'd like to say the same thing to you tonight as an audience. Consider this. Who are you? Who am I? The songwriter said, who am I that someone should bleed and die for me? Not fit to live and not fit to kill. Then who are we? We, I said one night here, we're not equal to a worm. Not even a worm. But the Lord was merciful. He did say, Jacob, thy worm. He did at least give him an equality of a worm. So, we're not equal to a worm. We're not equal to a dog, the greatest king in the world, the presidents, whatever. They're not equal to a dog. Unless a person is born again, the dog is better off. The cat is better off. The worm is better off. Because a worm, you crush him, he dies. A dog, you kill him. Or if he just lives his time out, he dies. That's all there is to it. A man, he dies, he goes to hell. Things just get started. If he isn't right with God, when he leaves the scene of action, he's not like the worm. He goes into hell, and he goes into the fire. So you have to live right. I've heard people say, well, it's an option. God has given me my sovereignty. I can do what I want to. Now, Brother Pike is a preacher. Can you dispute that? No, I can't. It is a true fact. He really has given you your sovereignty. But you know, I'm talking to you, and I say to you, and as you're going down the road, I say, look, folks, there's a bridge out down here, and there's no way to make that crossing. And if you go down that hill, once you get started, your brakes isn't going to hold, and you're going down into that river, and you're going to drown. And you better not go down there. You just can't do that. And you look back and you say, well, let me tell you, preacher, this is my sovereignty. I can do what I want to. Isn't that right? I say, yeah, I'm telling you not to, but you know it is your sovereignty. So then you got your sovereignty. Go on down the hill and the lake of fire is waiting. If you call that a sovereignty, then you go on and do what you want to. But in the day of the judgment, this preacher will stand right there. And Paul said, in these words that I am preaching, by these words you'll be judged and justified or condemned. That the same words I speak unto you shall judge you in the last day. I must present you before God. If you've ever heard me in my ministry, and if you've ever come to recognize that it's true, somebody says, well, I don't believe it. A lot of times a person will say that when they know that it's true. And they know they're lying, that they do believe it, but they don't believe it as to give themselves to it, as to faith. They recognize it as truth, but they won't have it. The Bible said they won't come to the light because their deeds are evil, and they know if they come to the light, their deeds will be made manifest, that they are evil. But a person that loves the light as a child of light will come to the light, that their deeds might be made manifest, and that they'll confess their sins, and that they might come forth as a lovely child of God with eternal life. So then I speak unto you as one that has come as to ask you, who then are you? What then are you? See, look at it like this. You would say, well, I'm young. The Bible said, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. Before the evil days come as to the reaping days. Your youth is your sowing days, but there's coming a reaping day. And be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There's no need to plant a field of rice and go back the following season as to harvest time expecting to reap a field of corn. It won't come up. You didn't put it there. And whatever you have sowed, as the seeds of kindness, as to the fruits of the Spirit, as to meekness, as to long-suffering, as to all these other things, you're going to reap it. If you have sown kindness, the Bible said the fruits of the Spirit is joy, peace, meekness, long-suffering. Add godliness and virtue and all these things as to brotherly love and patience. Add this to your faith. See, if this is what you're doing and this is what you're sowing, then that's what you're going to reap. You're going to reap health and happiness and prosperity and all the blessings that God promised unto you. But if you're out there and you're sowing lust, jealousy, corruption, all these things, the Bible said to sow to the Spirit is life everlasting, but to sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. Which means when you sow to the flesh, your belly is going to rot out with cancer. You're going to wind up with heart conditions. You're going to have the plagues of all the world. Over in the Old Testament, he told him there, he said, and if you do these things, I will bless you, and I will make you the head and not the tail, and I'll set you up on high, and ye shall give to many nations and lend to many nations. But if you will not do this, then this curse shall come upon you. And he said, the curse is all of the diseases that's named in this book shall come upon you. And folks, is everything from death to leprosy. And he said, not only that, but if you do not honor me, he said, and all of the plagues which are not written in this book shall come upon you as a people. And sure enough, there's all kind of new diseases that's developed that's coming upon the people. And the devil is literally eating them up because they sowed to the flesh. And now it's getting to be harvest time. And they're reaping corruption. They're deteriorating and turning into corruption. And all that they have around them will deteriorate. Everything in the world, to love the world is to die and lose out with God. For the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the pride of life, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. And the world and the lust thereof passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And so then, in these things, we see that you sowed to the flesh. And we see that you went after the world. And we see that you done wrong. So then there's nothing left for you to reap but death. I said then to the individual, I said, consider yourself. Now you're young. You have an opportunity to be whatever you want in the world. You can put your pictures on the magazines and wiggle around a little like a snake, like some of these other guys that hangs the guitar around their neck and stir up people's passions. I said, and in a little while you'll be a famous fella. And from that, the devil will teach you how to drink blood and vomit your vomit and drink it back to be something special in the eyes of all of the devils and demons that you'll be entertaining. And God have mercy, because among some of those boys and girls that are devils incarnate, there are some children as of yet that has not crossed the deadline, and they're just wandering after them because they've lost their bearings. And sad to say, we as parents have not done what we ought to do to help them something to do for God. You know, I said the other night, I don't like people going around all the time with this kind of attitude, saying, we need to do something for our kids. They need something. They've got to have something to do. You know, when they'll never do anything except complain, be just religious enough to catch the eyes of our children, and just religious enough to get their little saying over to our children as saying, well, bless God, they've got to have something to do. We said a little something about it the other night. In the first place, I asked this question. So they've got to have something to do. So the children have got to have something to do. All right, when I was a boy, I had something to do. I had to plow the field. I had to cut the wood. I had to go out and feed the animals. I had to look after them. I had to cur the mule or the horse or whatever. I had chores continued from the early morning until the night. What makes the children think that mom and daddy ought to do all the work? Oh, somebody says, well, I'm not supposed to work. I'm going to school. That's what my daddy told me. My mama said, go to school. You know, we have to work for a living, but you go to school, so you don't have to work for a living. And so we got a bunch of renegades. You're supposed to go to school to learn to work. The Bible said that they built the walls back because they had a mind to work. And we were taught to work for a living. We were taught that you were supposed to be honest. You wasn't supposed to go into the store lifting. See, children that don't work don't have nothing. And they want something just like everybody else. And what has caused it is a bunch of rogues hiding from the law. Dope addicts. I'm talking about grown-ups running from place to place, killing and ravishing and growing them beards. And isn't that sad to think that the beards in America come from rogues? Little children running after these, it was hiding from the law that covered their face up with beards. Somebody said, well, are you against beards? Of course not. Somebody said, well, didn't our Lord Jesus have a beard? Of course. Isn't it strange how he was made sin and your sin during the time he had a beard? Let's give the Lord a hand. The Bible said, as Joseph being typical of that, when he went down in there, he come up out of the dungeon, and the Bible said he shaved. All right. Somebody said, what are you talking about? Well, we won't talk about that. That might be too deep for you. But I'm just saying, when we think we're smart, we're not smart at all. When we think we know something, we don't know something that we ought to know, and that is that we don't know what we need to know. So then, that's why the Bible said when you come to the house of the Lord, keep your foot lest it slip. Don't be a fool. Be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools. You know what the sacrifice of fools is? Is to come in and give your opinion or have your thoughts or scrutinize the preacher or have a discrepancy of mind. And always be something that's sitting in the seat of the scornful or standing in the way of sinners. See, God, as I told them today, God is a spirit. Jesus perceived their thoughts in his spirit. And see, God is a spirit. And all this thing of trying to quit smoking and quit chewing and quit dancing and quit going to ball games and quit all these other things has nothing to do with salvation. Not one thing does it have to do with salvation. Not one thing. All this of whether I'm going to wear a long dress or a short dress or I'm not going to wear a dress at all or clothing at all had nothing to do with salvation. Somebody would say, well, I think you're eccentric, Brother Pike, and you're beside yourself. Anybody knows that a nude person couldn't go to heaven. Well, I'm not trying to be ugly, but you need to keep your clothes on at all time if that be the case. So then it has nothing to do with God. Somebody said, well, what are you doing? I'm trying to prove my point. If you wasn't so discrepant in your mind, I wouldn't have to say these things. But to prove my point, because you think you're smart. So then I have to prove my point, to let you know that God knows where you're at and what you're doing and what you're thinking, and that he has concluded the whole world in foolishness. And he said the whole world has become fools, in that they did not know God when God came to them. They didn't recognize God with all their biblical learning. They didn't recognize God today with all of their philosophy, college, whatever it might be, they still haven't recognized God, but God was among them all the time, walked among them. But they never did know him. One day he just stood and cried. And he said, if you'd have known the day of your visitation, it would have been different with you. But in that you did not, God was in the world, and God made the world. The world was made by him, and he was in the world, but they knew him not. And the Bible said, by the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God that men should be saved. I see people come here at this place right here. And I see them come in and out and sometimes stay for a while. And they sit and judge God every night, every day. They judge God. And I watch them a lot of times as an individual and I think, how ignorant. It's no wonder Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. And that the ignorance as to the blindness of your heart has blinded you, that your eyes are blinded and you cannot see when good comes, because Lucifer, even the god of this world, through the old tree of knowledge, your human knowledge and reasoning as to the innermost thoughts has blinded you and cut you off, and you now have the spirit of error and is wandering in darkness and have become a creature of darkness and could never see light. For the Bible said you cannot see light when good cometh. There's no way that you can see it. You're blind. Like a blind man, he cannot see light. So I said that to say this. See, we are dealing with your heart. We are dealing with your heart. It's not how you dress. It's not what you do. Even in the days of the Jews, Paul, with the revelation, he told the Jews, it's not a matter of eating certain stuff on this day and keeping new moons and Sabbaths. It's not a matter of ritualistics and the formalities that's taught to you as the tradition of the elders. It's not your religious formalities that's come down to you through intellectual reasoning and through the study of the Bible as from a natural source. He said, that's not it. He said, salvation is not in meats and drinks. So I'm afraid of you. You observe days and times and seasons. And you say, this is Sunday and this is Saturday and we must keep Sunday. You know, but we must not keep Saturday. And another says, no, we must keep Saturday. We must not keep Sunday. Paul said, what does that have to do with it? What does that have to do with God? See, what does that have to do with God? So we strain at a gnat and we swallow a camel. See, and certain things like on a holy day as the Sunday, we don't do. But certain things like feeding our bellies, our tummy, because the Bible said that God has put the old serpent as to the worm, the generation of vipers, on his belly. All of his labors for his belly and his mouth because his belly craves it of him. And so we all go out as the natural unless we're born again. Getting God in our heart, we go out and feed our belly because the serpent's on his belly. Unless you're born again, and then, as the Bible said, blessed is a nation when the king eats for strength and not all of his party. So we again realize then that we are looking for salvation in the wrong way. Salvation to begin with is not of the Gentiles. It has nothing to do with the Gentiles. It didn't come from the Gentiles. First of all, salvation is of the Jews to begin with, because Jesus was born among the Jews. And his mother was a Jew. Whether we like it or not, somebody said, the mother of God, Blessed Mary. I said so many times, that's wrong. Being Catholic, that's what they understand. That's what they're taught. And we've had numbers of Catholic, even as to the priesthood, converted under this ministry. But the thing is, that's wrong. See, but it's not wrong to say Blessed Mary. Sometimes we're so critical of others when we stand in the need of prayer. And Mary said, as she talked to John the Baptist's mother, and from henceforth all nations shall call me blessed. And is not a woman blessed that is the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ? Somebody said, well, wasn't Jesus God? He certainly was. He was the Word made flesh. Then God does have a mother, and that was the mother of God. No, that was wrong. When Jesus resurrected from the dead, he made them to know that it was a body of flesh and blood. When they said it is a spirit, he said, full of me. A spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. But yet in St. John, it says God is a spirit. So there is a difference between the Son of God and the Spirit, which is God the Heavenly Father. But somebody said, but I thought it was oneness. Somebody said, well, I thought it was two-ness. I've had them tell me, I know that it's two-ness. Well, what can you say? There's one God, there's one faith, there's one baptism. What can you say about the two-ness? Said he made in himself twain, too. And then somebody said, no, it's Trinity, it's three. Well, what can you say about that? The Bible said the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. What can you say about that? You know, it's just a mix-up. People don't understand. They're running to and fro. They're doing all kinds of things when there's absolutely no excuse for it. There's no excuse for your ignorance. There's no excuse for my ignorance. The Bible said all of the things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things that are in the world. That is, all the invisible things are clearly understood by the things which are in the world, or by those things which do appear even to the eternal Godhead. so that we're without excuse.
So there's no excuse. What it is, it's just corrupt minds wanting to fuss, wanting to fight, wanting the preeminence, wanting to rule over their brother. Instead of esteeming their brother better than themselves, instead of looking on the things of another, instead of seeking the welfare of another, as it says, the Gentiles seek after all the other things of the world. They don't seek after the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. That's to develop their lives in the Lord. So then salvation is a spiritual thing. It is a spiritual thing. God is a spirit. And as Jesus told the woman at the well, God is seeking such to worship him as in spirit and as in truth. He doesn't like this ritualistic formality of all these churches and money and things and all kind of doings as they would do to compass land and sea to make a proselyte twofold more the child of hell. See, God wants somebody that's spiritual. Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. One spirit, many operations. But he said, you need the spirit. You need to get born again. It doesn't matter if you are a church person. It doesn't matter if you are a believer. That has nothing to do with salvation. Being a believer, that's fine. I say so often. The Bible said, if you believe there's one God, you do well, because that's what the Bible said. But did you know that the devil knows that? He quoted scripture to Jesus, and he believes there's one God, the Bible said, and he trembles when he thinks about it. But the thing is, if we do not have God's Spirit, we are none of his. You must be born again of that one Spirit. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you believe and the believers is going to be saved over here, and them that have the Spirit's going to be saved over here, and these others are going to be saved over here. I tell you what, I challenge anybody in the world, anywhere, and we've been around it and preached all across it, and I've met them on all levels, and I challenge anybody in the world to give me one tiny scripture from Genesis to Revelation that'll prove that. You know that's a lie. There ain't no such thing. Jesus said, if you have not my Spirit, you're none of mine, and there's but one Spirit. And that's the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth. When he comes, he reproves the world of sin. And when you're born again, you get that Spirit and you cry, Abba Father, because it's the Spirit of his Son. And if you don't cry, that means it's a still birth and it wasn't nothing to it. So when we think of this, what are we saying? That we must seek God in spirit. We must seek God in truth. That dirty, filthy mouth of yours, that dirty, filthy spirit of yours, Jesus warned them, said, out of the heart comes forth evil thoughts of adultery and fornication and lying and cheating. And just like the man that came here to scrutinize me, the ugly, devilish thoughts that's in his mind and heart. All he needs to do is get born again. Amen. It's like those that was running around after Paul and Peter. He said, the first thing, he said, your heart is not right with God. He said, you are in the gall of bitterness and the bonds of iniquity, and your heart is not right with God, and you'd better repent and pray that God will forgive you for the very thoughts of your heart. And the Bible said Jesus perceived their thoughts in his spirit. And that same Christ in me many times perceives people's thoughts. And we've told them their thoughts many times, because Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. A lot of times I don't call people out as an individual. Sometimes I do. I go directly to them. Sometimes I go to them in secret to spare them. Sometimes I don't. It becomes necessary because of habitual practice to just rebuke them before all. The Bible said rebuke before all that others might see and fear. And when I realize that an individual that's made out of the dust is nothing but a hole for a snake to live in, that there's just an old devil there and that devil lives there all the time, then I have to do something to reveal that thing, is to kill the snake, expose the snake, run him off, or I have to take and expose it to my children, to where my children can stay away from that hole of the devil. All right, Jesus spoke of men that are whited sepulchres, that are full of dead man's bones that do not appear, and people fall into them. They're hypocritical. So then Jesus warned the Pharisees and scribes. He said, you've got your long robes, and you seek the salutations as being a religious person. In the marketplace, you make long prayers. You have your little programs and churchism and whatever. He said, but I'm going to tell you something. He said, salvation is of the heart. And he said, from out of the heart comes forth evil thoughts of adultery and fornication and lying and cheating and stealing and theft, murder, all of these kind of things. And he said, blasphemy. And said, these are they that defile a man. And he said, when you talk about fornication, as I've said before, Jesus didn't say it in these words, but he tried to explain it like this to them as the best they would listen. And that is, God instigated marriage. And he said, multiply and replenish the earth. And it was the holy, godly, pure thing. And said, the bed of the married is undefiled and all. But he said, the whoremonger and the adulterer I will judge. And he said, and they along with the liar, they that love and make a lie, shall not enter in through the gates of this lovely city, of this holy city, New Jerusalem. All right, so then it makes us again to know that when Jesus said, you say that if you do these things, that is adultery. He said, but I'm telling you, all you got to do is look in lust. Sin is in the world because of lust. Eyes, lust. Eve looked, the tree of life, or tree of knowledge, it looked good for food. She lusted. Sin came into the world. And death because of sin. So then those thoughts that's in your heart defiles you. God purifies the heart with faith. And the Bible says that God's eyes are throughout the earth, going to and fro in the earth, looking for or seeking the upright in heart, that he may show himself strong in their behalf, as to give them eternal life, as to heal their bodies, as to supply their needs, as to make them a mighty testimony, to do great things before the people, to manifest God, that their light might shine and men may see their good works and glorify their Father in heaven. For I've set you as a light unto the ends of the earth. All right, so then we understand that we are dealing with another level. We are dealing with another world. And we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. If I have a difference with Brother Taylor, or he with me, or we with you, then we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. If I am right and I'm wrestling with you, then that means you're wrong. Because we're supposed to be of one mind and one accord. The Bible said on the day of Pentecost, they were all of one mind, even the mind of Christ Jesus, one accord, even to do the will of God. And God, as a spirit, the mind of the Lord Jesus, he is trying to present himself to us in his fullness, saying, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, which was the fullness of God, that it might every day proportionally reveal itself to you as to who you are and what you are and what you've always been in the mind of God, because you are not what you are as the bastard child image from your first birth. But if ye are elect, as to having your names written down in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world, having this given to you by predestination, as to a justifying, as to a glorifying, as to a sanctifying, then that means that you are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, or that is to say, you are the children of God. My children are my members in particular. And you are the children of God. And if children, heirs, and joint heirs, partakers with Jesus Christ of all the benefits. So then we're dealing with your heart. We're dealing with your heart. See, what kind of a heart do you have? What is there in your heart? As the writer said, how about your heart? Is it right with God? See, David of old, a man after God's own heart. Whereas David said, my ways don't please thee, O Lord, but my heart is perfect before thee. Praying about 7 times a day. But look at the thing that David did when he stumbled into the wrong. He got into the wrong place at the wrong time. And when he looked, he lusted. And it brought death and it brought sorrow. And the Bible said the sword never did depart from his house, which meant that his enemies were never at peace with him again. It was always war. But the thing is, when we look at that, somebody says, Brother Pike, a great man like David, a man after God's own heart, he failed. How in the name of reasoning can we stand? Very easy. David did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He did not have Christ in his heart. He had Christ with him. And the Holy Ghost was with them. Even in that day, the Bible said that he was with them. Even the prophets of old, thus signifying the sufferings of Christ Jesus as to the time to come. But he did not have the Holy Ghost. But folks, you've got the Spirit of Christ. You've got the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said, he that is born of God, that hath the Holy Ghost, that's the birth of God. He cannot sin because he's born of God. He that sinneth is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Somebody would say, well, when David done that, do you think that was the devil? Well, let's look at the Bible and see. The Bible said, prove all things. There came a prophet to David, and he said there was a certain man that lived in a certain place, and he had exceedingly great flocks and herds. But a stranger came by and said, this man spared to take of his own flock, but to satisfy the stranger, this man that lived across the way that had won you a lamb, said he sent and took it, and this was taken for the stranger. Said, what think ye? And David, being a just man as to a great fellow, he said he's worthy of death, and he passed the judgment. And the prophet said, David, thou art the man. And then the judgments of the Lord came. What does it mean, a stranger? The Bible says concerning Satan, my sheep follow my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. David followed the voice of a stranger, which was a demon spirit of lust. He followed that, and it brought him sorrow because he did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But if he had been born of God, it had been different. Someone would say, Brother Pike, the great man David, what are you talking about? I'm talking about that of the great prophets. Even John, none born among women greater, but nevertheless, the Bible said, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. So then those people did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See, somebody said, well, bless God, if John was here today, such and such. No, it wouldn't be that way, because a greater than John is here. A greater than Elijah is here. Oh my God, somebody says, absolutely, a greater than John is here, and a greater than Elijah, and a greater than Solomon is here. Jesus testified in his day, he said, a greater than Solomon. He said the Queen of Sheba came from the ends of the earth just to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and was so confounded till she said, I've heard of your kingdom and your wisdom, but the half of it was never told me. So there's a greater here. Somebody said, what do you mean? I mean the Holy Ghost is here, and we're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said it's not you speaking, but God speaking, and all shall be taught of God. Let's give the Lord a hand. That's why I say that you're ignorant when you sit and judge even the least of God's people. You are ignorant. You are very ignorant and do not realize what you're doing. The Bible said, don't even touch mine anointed. Don't even touch him. Don't never even touch the anointed of God. It doesn't matter if it's not the preacher, if it's a child of God, though they be ever so little. He said, just to offend one of these little ones, it's better that a millstone be tied about your neck and you drowned in the depths of the sea. He gets so angry because of that. And don't ever touch God's prophets, God's preachers, God's ministries. The Bible said, don't offend them. And he said, don't even as much as grieve them. Don't get in their service and grieve them. Don't do anything like that. Said, because they're God's ministers. They bear not the sword in vain. They're set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. They can bless you or they can curse you. Though they're very merciful. But they can take your life. Even here, folks, I'm less than any of them. I'm least of all. But in this sanctuary, I have spoke to numbers of them. I'm talking about young people. And spoke of their death, and they were gone within a few days. Gone within a few days. Gone. Not one, not two, not three, but people. Old and young alike, wherever we've been. See, you do not have anything from God that says that you're going to continue. It's like the man I spoke of that come in here. He's in for trouble. Already, I told him. But he isn't going to break his spirit that easy. He's going to be this way. He isn't going to get too hard because he's scared. He thinks I don't understand his thoughts and his spirit. But he's afraid to get too hard. He's afraid something will happen. But he wants to let me know that he isn't going to yield to me. You're not yielding to me. Brother, I wouldn't waste my time to go out here to have anybody to yield to me. I wouldn't. What do I want somebody to yield to me for? People who yield to me would be my responsibility. I don't need any more responsibility. I'm trying to get people to yield to God. That shows again how ignorant you are. That you fight against God and you come to naught. See, that shows that you're just a little old thing. That in the world you don't know nothing as Christ. As Christ. You're just all bound up and you're in bad shape. And when I said a little babe a while ago, I didn't mean a little babe in Christ. When I said that, I meant in the grace of God, as to the grace of God being poured out upon the rain upon the just and the unjust. But I was talking about a little babe in your understanding. You don't even have any understanding. Anybody just in the natural would have more understanding than that. They'd get away from that kind of thing. Rather than come to the house of God to trouble God, they'd go get them a bottle of whiskey and get out there and frolic and have enough sense to stay away from anything like this to shorten the days and to grieve the minister to go away with a curse. I had somebody to come not too long ago. Boldly come here, young fella. Nice, fine-looking, blunt-headed guy. He come here and he wanted to tell me my shortcomings, and I listened, and so he did. And then he went away all satisfied. And I thought, you just don't understand. You just don't understand. Somebody said, well, what about it? Well, he lived in another town, but I got the report not too long ago. Right after he did what he did, they had to put him in the insane asylum. Had another one that opposed us. And we spoke about it. Not long after that, they had to put him in an insane asylum. And on and on and on. Why? Either in a coughing, either in the insane asylum, some of them broke all to pieces, some of them in wrecks. Horrible, hideous things happened to them. Died horrible deaths. Somebody said, who? Enough to write a big book on. That's how many. Seeing it's still happening. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody said, well, you're just a preacher. That's all right. They used to say the woods is full of preachers. If it's just a preacher, you don't have nothing to worry about if he ain't sent from God. But just in the event he is sent from God, you're in serious trouble. Just in the event he is. And the Bible said he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And that without respect to person, he won't spare any of them, because if he does, there'll be pricks in his side. So just to grieve him, you're in trouble. But he said, if you believe my prophets, then you can be blessed, and all that you do will prosper. If you'll confess your sins and forsake your sins, all that you do shall prosper. But if you cover your sins, ye shall not prosper. I've got people that live around in the community. They're sick folks. They're very sick, and they can't get well. And the reason is because they've continually run their mouth about Bethlehem and said things against the preacher and against the message and against the brethren, and tried to prove to people that they knew when they didn't know. The whole world is in a mess right now. Did you know, folks, many years ago it wasn't like that. People wasn't sick, run down. They didn't have to have hospitals everywhere. It wasn't tragedies all the time. You know why? People had a great fear of God. Solomon said the beginning of the wisdom of God is to begin to fear him. When you begin to fear God, any place in your life that you find the beginning is to fear God, then that's wisdom. That's understanding. See, to depart from iniquity is understanding. Years ago, they didn't do that. They listened to the minister. They reverenced the minister. If he's a minister of God, they followed him. They administered to him. They took care of him. He was their minister. He worked with them. They loved one another. And God blessed them with long life and blessed them with good things and kept them healthy and well. And if they run into a problem, they said, well, we'll get the minister. But in our day, it isn't like that. Everybody knows everything. And everybody tries to tell you everything. Everybody's the Bible scholar. Just turn on your television, open a magazine, read a newspaper, and he'll tell you all about it. You know, and the Bible says, he that addeth one word as to this revelation of John, as to the Bible, add one word to it, and the plagues of this book shall be added unto you. Take one word away from here, and your part shall be taken out of the book of life. And so then today, we've got even youth. Many of them are devils, having already crossed the deadline. As a matter of fact, you can read anything filthy and dirty across their shirts here as if to introduce their bodies, as to say, I'm a harlot here. Or something across the back here. As on a boat, when I was out fishing years ago, we happened to be out on a boat with our son. And here come a man with some of the most dirty, filthy writings on the back, on his back. And I said something to him, and I said, why have you got that filth out like that? Everybody doesn't want to see it. Just because it's in his heart. And he got upset and he said, don't preach to me. I said, yes, I'm preaching to you. I'm a preacher. I said, you don't need that mess. Because he left and went his way. See, so then the Bible said, rebuke them sharply that they might be sound, you know, and that all the rest may see and fear to do those things. If our people had one speck of decency as a hold in this generation, they'd get those people. They stop that filth from being published, as in the books. all of the pornography. They'd stop that. They'd stop all the writings on these shirts. They'd stop all the striptease. They'd stop these little old shows, and they'd stop the mouth of these dirty talking young'uns. Back there, somebody said, well, we just can't handle it, but they could. If they had to take the buggy whip, they handled it real good. Somebody said, well, that's not Bible. Well, that's what Jesus did. He took him a whip, and he turned over the tables, and he drove them out of the temple. And he said, let me tell you something. As to the teachings of God, leave a child to himself, and he'll bring shame. The spirit of foolishness is in him, but a rod of correction will drive it far from him. And if you love your child, you're chastening him often. All right, so to mold his mind, not to be mean and beat him and kill him, you know, out of your fierce, devilish temper, but to love him and train him and chasten him, to try to teach him to be decent. All right, so then we go on here, little father. What are we saying tonight? I'm talking about the right kind of spirit, the right kind of heart, the right kind of life. I had plenty to do when I was coming up. Why do we say the children don't have anything to do? As I said the other night, so we're going to give the children something to do. We're going to say, all right, parent, you know, you're a philosopher. You're an educator. You wrote a book, How to Raise a Child. You ain't never had one, but anyway, we believe your book. So we're going to do that. We're going to see that they have something. What can they have? Somebody said, well, I got a suggestion, a pool table. So we make them a pool table. Somebody said, well, they can go ice skating. So we let them go ice skating. Somebody said, well, you can't skate in long clothes. Somebody says, no, you must go naked. So they go naked. All right, so then we go on a little farther, and the devil, he sweetens the pot, and he fixes it, you know, to where we got to have more lust and more lust and more lust. And finally, daddy and mama swaps, you know, with another daddy and mama. Oh, no, somebody said, no, no, Brother Pike. Oh, yes, I'm talking about leading ministers that I knew of and spoke of it before it ever happened as to their lust. See, and what happens? As I've said before, go over to the doctor. She makes mother a prostitute. He strips her down like a common dog. Go to the dentist, and little Miss Nothing in here, she's got to have the man. And this old whoremonger in here, he's got to have the woman. There's just something about it that the man can't do anything for the man, and the woman. So they switch around. And as I've told them in the past, I said it's rotten and filthy. And if they could ever find it out, they'd see that. And like I told you, finally they were found putting up some cameras in some of the dentist's office and found out that they were doing exactly that. As to the medical world of the doctors and the dentists, that they were filthy as pigs as to what they were doing with the ladies and the men, the different ones, when they were under the power of their injections. All right, so what have we got? A filthy, dirty generation, an adulterous generation, a sinful generation. Why a sinful generation, Brother Pike? Because they know to do right. And the Bible said to him that knoweth to do good, and he won't do it, it's sin, that they won't come to the light because they're wicked. But in the days gone by, they didn't have all these diseases because they were not wicked. They did not understand as much. There wasn't much required of them. But what they did know, they tried to do. They were good common mothers and daddies, decent wives. You had a precious little wife that was a jewel. You had a wonderful husband that was a man. He wasn't interested in trying to be some polished movie star, you know, a jog with his muscles. He wasn't trying to be slicked up. He had his old overalls on and his boots on, and he was out behind the plow. He was a real man, and his body had the strength like a young ox, could eat like a young horse, and mama liked to cook for him. That's right. And like I told you one time before, when I was riding down the road, I heard on the radio, and this radio, as it came on, I heard somebody say, and I want to read a letter. And this letter is from a movie star, and such, and I think the name was concealed. And the movie star said, pray that I can get me a husband. And then went on to elaborate and said, well, maybe you think, you know, as we put it in our words here, that I can't get a man and me a movie star. She said, my name is in lights. Said, there are plenty of men around. Said, there's plenty of men. Said, I can have most anything I want. She said, but she referred to it in her own terms, not as to the word junk, but that it was just a mess. And she said, I don't want it. She said, I'd love to have a husband, a real man. Said, a man that come in with his boots dirty that he kicked off in the corner and sat down over there as a real man that could work, a real man. Said, I'd love to have a real man, and this was her desire. See, folks, I'm just telling you, I'm trying to explain something to you. People wasn't overrun with sickness and these trifling things of the world because they didn't add to the Word of God and they didn't take away from the Word of God. And when they spoke about the Word of God, they spoke with great reverence, not as to dispute or to prove their point, but they did this thing as one that understood carefully what God had said, knowing that the Bible says that if a prophet prophesy presumptuously, that prophet shall die. But in our day, it's like popcorn. Everybody prophesying, speaking in tongues, saying things, doing anything they want to, saying the Bible said this and the Bible said that, and got all kind of versions of it, of translation and changing it. Until today, they make the Word of God a lie. The Bible said they turn the truth into a lie, and they make it a lie, and they use it to kill with, like Satan that tried to use it on Jesus. Well, anyway, we're fixing to close. So, what is the problem? They need to leave the Word of God alone and leave it to the ministry that's set there for the perfecting of the saints, even the perfecting of their faith. Or they need to get out of the business and join the ministry as one that loves God, that labors together, that they may be partakers together of the benefit and understand thoroughly that they are like a physician. There's some physicians that goes to operate and they are like butchers. And they cut a 6-inch gash when they could have gotten by with a 3-inch gash. And they butcher the body without any thought whatsoever. Like I've said before of the man up here that was in town, numbers of times of a reference to it, operated on Eisenhower, an outstanding physician, had done many operations in his life. And then he told me, he said, you know, I wish I'd ever done that. He said, I never realized in cutting people's body, messing it up, what it was like until they stuck a knife in me and cut me and began to mess my body up. He said there was other ways that it would have worked. But the world being blind, every time they have a little pain, they won't. The doctor to stick a knife in them. They got to have an operation. And sure enough, they go up whole and come back in parts. Because every time he cuts you, he usually takes something out. Like the appendix, they got to where they take the appendix out with a regularity. And they said, well, you don't need it in there. They passed the law that if you had an operation, you had to have that out. If it was anywhere in that area. Just like God was ignorant. You know, they finally found out, I believe, that they said it had to do with the oil cup of the body. See, and like others, that after they butchered and after they killed, they said, like the mechanic that took the motor apart and put the wrong thing in or didn't get the problem, said, well, we'll have to start over. Made a mistake. Folks, people didn't have to do that when they followed God. Grandmother's remedy was plenty good. The dogs as a whole, the animals, have never had that problem. God's taken care of them. When they birth their little ones, they don't have to do like people. People run through the pig pen. People robbed of every dime they've got. Something that God instigated when the Bible said in the Old Testament that the women brought forth quickly. There was no pain. There was no misery. That was under the curse. It was not said that a woman shall bear her children in pain and misery. Until she sinned against God. It said they were to multiply and replenish the earth, which was to be a pleasure. But when they sinned, then it was said, and in travail and pain. The man was not said to have to work to feed his family as to a travail in the sweat of his brow, as to toil until he sinned. All he had to do was live in the beautiful garden and enjoy the wonderful presence of God. And this is why Jesus used the terms here. Why seek ye the things of the world? The little sparrows don't do that. The lilies of the field don't do that. And he was saying, you don't have any need to do that either. I can take care of you. You don't have to make brick in Egypt. 3 million people followed him. They didn't have no schools. They didn't have no industries. They didn't have no hospitals. They didn't have no philosophers. They followed him. And the Bible said not one person's feet of the 3 million ever swelled. Not one. And the Bible said their garments never did wax old. And they never did go hungry. They were fed to the full. And they built a commonwealth in the wilderness. They never did go to college. But it was said unto them when they started into Canaan, that these people are going to be afraid of you because of your great wisdom and understanding. Why? Because understanding comes from God. Wisdom comes from God. And they had God. And all of this other thing is to the tree of knowledge and the polished scholars. The educational system has done nothing but turn our people into harlots, into beatniks, as I said over here at Athens at the college, streaking without any clothes, turned them into a bunch of freaks, and turned them into harlots, into whoremongers, and have made them a sick bunch of people that just about all of them has something wrong with them. What are they doing? The more they learn, the more ball game they want. And they highlight in the college what? That's contrary to God, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the things of the world that's going to pass away. Always the flesh. Folks, and let me close by saying this. As I also said today, one mind leads to life and blessing. God made you for his own. Another life leads to damnation because you have sinned against God and give your body to the devil. But you can tell that old serpent seed. You can tell him because his mind is gullible. It's after the flesh and the things of the world and the lust of the flesh. And he goes hard after it. And you can tell the seed of Christ because the mind is on God. It's holy, it's godly, it wants good things, virtuous things, holy things, pure things. And it goes after God, goes after the heavenly things that God has offered. And you can tell that that's the seed of Christ Jesus. So then, it's up to you. Somebody said, are you here to make Christians out of us? Absolutely not. What can a preacher do that Christ hasn't already done with his blood? I'm here to reveal to you that there's a mind of Christ, that if you are the elect, you can hear the voice of God. And the sheep will follow it. I'm here to tell you that it was given to you in Christ before the world ever was, as elect of God, and that Calvary only rent the veil to bring it to light for preachers to preach it down through the church age, that you might comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this great, marvelous thing that's called salvation, which is the Spirit of His Christ. And without that Spirit, you're none of His. All right, let's stand together. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. I also appreciate the fact that the man that Satan wanted to make so critical changed his mind before the end of the service and began to get into these things. You know, it's strange, but people come here that really want to hurt me and tear me down, find fault. And they don't mean to go with me and they're not going to submit, but I've watched again and again, they always wind up in a place to where they forget all about what they come for and they get head over heels in it. I've seen it happen every time, again and again. And I've seen them when they catch themselves, it frees back up. You know, but Brother Dale, they can't help it when it comes. See, God breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. Just be thankful that you are a person that don't want to be a critical person and stand in the way of sinners and sit in the seat of the scornful. Be thankful so that when the yoke is broken, that's what it's for. It's grace, it's the blood on the seat of atonement to give you that chance so it can be broken to where you can see. And be grateful when you do see and say, my God, I'm going after this. I'll never let the devil bind me again and steal from me as a robber and a thief and take all the beautiful things of God that belong to me. I'll never let him do that again. I'm free. He's a thief. He's a robber. One of these nights, the Lord will allow. I want to speak concerning some more of the transology. I didn't find the places to the anointing for that tonight. There's some here that appear that as to the babes needing some milk and to that of repentance. And these tapes and these books and films and whatever, they go out around the different parts of the nation and the world and have to mix some milk in with the meat. But it's good for us. It's good for me. It's a reminder. Jesus, just in his simplicity, began to tell us that we can't be adulterers, we can't be liars, we can't be murderers, we can't be thieves, we can't lord over our brethren, we can't try to get the mote out of somebody's eye when we got a beam in our own eye. And if I was standing here and I was trying to get the mote out of Brother Taylor's eye, if he awakened in the morning, as people have at times, the eyes get a little tired and the mucus builds up and you're trying to get something out of his eye, and somebody's standing right there with a light right down in your eye to where you're blinded and you can't see, and the beam is straight into your eye. How are you going to do that? Or if you had, even as to somebody having driven a splinter in your eye, you know, your sight impaired, how are you going to do that? And besides that, I'm speaking of a light. I said, well, I think it was a pole. I heard people talk about a beam, you know. Well, it's okay. I mean, we ain't going to dispute over that. But I'm almost of a certainty that if you had a stick sticking down in your pupil, or if you had a pole in your eye and it pulled it out, you wouldn't see to get no mote out. But it did see if you get the beam out, you could. All right. You love the Lord? Let's sing a little chorus, Ken. My heart sings out when I call to remember that heartaches here are but a stepping stone. Far along this trail that's leading ever upward, this troubled world is not my final hope. But until then, my heart will go on singing. And until then, by faith, I'll carry on until the day mine eyes behold the city, until the day God calls me home. Sing that with me. For until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, by faith I'll carry on. Until the day mine eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home. I feel the hands of God so kind and tender. They're leading me through paths that I must trod. But I have no fear, for Jesus walked beside me. And I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Can you sing that with me? So let the storm clouds rise, the dark clouds come, but they won't bother me. Oh, I'm sheltered safely in the arms of God. I have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me. And I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Sheltered safely in the arms of God. Something is happening. Like I told my wife today, I said, Satan is really upset. I mean, he is just out of control. As the Bible said, in the latter days, he'll go about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. For he knoweth that he had but a short time. And he's raging because he knows that this message finished him. He's finished. He's done. He's gone, and he can't help it. And ain't nothing he can do about it, and nothing he can say about it, and that's it. I said, and that's it. He's gone. He has to swallow down. He's gone. Hallelujah. The saints of God are rising and taking the kingdom. And as I said, we need to do something. We need to do something. Folks, we need to do something. There are people out yonder, even youth, that has become devils and have crossed the deadline. Like one that somebody spoke of today, how they have a little writing on their shirt and they say, I gave my soul for rock and roll. And they don't know that that's true. It was said that Elvis Presley, it was learned that he made a covenant with the devil and told the devil that he would give him his soul if he would magnify him, lift him up. As Satan said to Jesus, all of this is in my hands. It's been delivered into my hands. He didn't say he was a thief and a robber and he stole it from Adam. To give to whomsoever I will, said, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give it all to you. And the Bible said, in a moment of time, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. See, and so Elvis lived about 40 to about 40 years old. At about 40 years old, he was found dead trying to read his Bible because he realized what a fool he had played as to go after those things. And the Bible said concerning Moses, rather than enjoying sin for a season, he chose to suffer the afflictions with the righteous. So you can have sin for a season. You can have the sparkle and the glitter. And you look at all the celebrities and you think, oh my God, what they've got, that's what I want. But if you could be behind the scene, if you could be behind the scene and see those things, you change your mind. And as I say sometimes, that's why I wrote the little song. Being a songwriter, I wrote the little song. I changed my mind. Brother Taylor sings it a lot of times here. I talked it over. We talked it over. The Lord and I. I went behind the scene. I met the celebrities. I saw what it was. I started on my way. And I said, my God, this is a nightmare. This is horrible. And I began to see it. And I changed my mind. I changed my mind. I thought about a life of fame. You know, I thought about that. But when we talked it all over, I saw the heartaches. I changed my mind. Changed my mind, Lord, about a lot of things. I don't know why I was so blind. But when we talked it over, I changed my mind. All right, let's sing this little song, Brother Taylor. We come to the house of God to praise the Lord and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, folks, that's why we're here. And I love you and you love me and we're working together. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We have to love one another. Jesus said, love one another. We know that we have passed from death unto life, or that is, we know that we are part of the body that can never die, to the body of Jesus. Because we love one another, that is, we're joined together. And life is in that body, and there's no death there. And we're trying to come together in one mind that the whole body can be changed. When one member suffers, they all suffer. And when that body takes on the mind of Christ Jesus, each one of us according to the measure as to what we're going to be, then the full mind of Christ will be there, collectively speaking to the full measure of the body of Christ Jesus. And then the change will take place. The Lord is calling us home. He hath called us unto glory and unto virtue. Folks, Jesus loves you so much that the Bible says the tribulation, no matter how great the tribulation, it can't separate you from that great love. That love that was so great that it sacrificed its own son. And if famine, if persecution, if peril, or if sword is to war or whatever, or nakedness, whether it be poverty or whatever, it cannot separate you from that great, mighty love. He loved you with an everlasting love. There's no glitches or breaches in that love. And he loves you in such a way that he never leaves you nor forsakes you. You're always his. You can always turn your faith toward God. Though a lot of times we feel like, well, God has hid his face. He won't hear me. But remember, there's only one thing that stops him from hearing you. He took your iniquities away at Calvary so that he could hear you at all times. And the Bible said his ears are ever attentive toward the cry of the righteous. So there's only one thing that can keep him from getting to you, and that is your iniquity when you allow it to come once you know right from wrong, and you won't stay away from it, and you allow that shadow to move in between you and God because he cannot look at iniquity. But like a mother wanting the child, though the little child might be in a deep well, the mother's heart is breaking because it cannot get to it. And the Lord at all times, even when you're crying and weeping and feeling like God has forsaken you and that God won't have anything to do with you, he's weeping and crying, wanting to get to you. But he said, thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God, and they have held thee back from good things. And so then, to shun the very appearance of evil is what we have to do. He is seen with the blood running from his veins, saying, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And the love of a mother is so great, she'll give her life sometimes by going in a fire after her little ones. And Jesus said, I've loved you with a greater love than the mother. For though a mother may forsake her suckling, it has been known. But he said, I'll never forsake you. I have engraved you in the palms of my hands as to the nails, that I will never forget you. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thought. What an everlasting love. What a confidence for faith. What a rock and a foundation for believing. No wonder it says faith worketh by love. The more you love that little one, the more confidence it has that mama will listen and mama will share and mama will take care of it. And the same with daddy. And the more you grasp the love that's to where you cannot fathom or comprehend, it passeth all understanding, the more you learn about it and trust in it, the greater confidence you have, which is faith in him, as to he heareth and he will grant it to you. So then, being his dear children, let's love him with all of our heart and let's be compassionate and love one another. He'll supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Just have a little talk with Jesus. They used to sing that song, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. He will hear your faintest cry. Let's just lift our hands, close our eyes as we go to close tonight. As I said, it's my pleasure to talk with you. It's a pleasure to have a sister down from Virginia. And it's a pleasure to have you here, to have the different ones come in to be with us. I see you. Sometimes not too well with the glaring lights, but they do that to film. And there's people that ask for the films. And we're grateful to have you here. We're grateful for the different ones that comes off a good ways. I see some of you travel quite a ways. I see Brother Pascal. We're glad to have him back in service. He's coming with us regular now. And he was gone for quite a while. I had a night vision last night where there was another one. It's to a family that left not too long ago. And he was trying to make his way back. We've been praying for him. If you be the right kind of person, a good person will fall 7 times and get back up. Appreciate Brother Gerald Williams that comes so far to be with us so often, and also the precious person that comes with him that has been reverent and been in our services. And the different ones that comes that wants to help and work with us and strengthen one another and bless one another, it is a real blessing because that's what we need and that's what we're working for. And that's what we're trying to do, is to win souls. He that winneth souls is wise. And the Bible said, and there comes the day when he will outshine the brightness of the noonday. As to in that day, many, having turned many to righteousness, you will shine as the brightness of the firmament. So then as we sing this song together, let's just lift our hands and close our eyes and sing this little chorus again. If you've never given your heart to God, let me persuade you to give your heart to the Lord. Not for just a day. Not for just an hour. But the songwriter said, for eternity. So let's sing this little chorus. And I will praise Him. My heart will praise Him. Praise the Lamb, O sinners slain. Let us yield. For His blood has washed away every stain. Once again. And I will praise Him. My heart will praise Him. Praise that Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory, all ye people. For His blood has washed. Just one more time. And I'm going to ask Brother Pascal to come and dismiss us, if you will. I will praise Him. Can you come, Brother Pascal?
The Lamb for sinners slain.